Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of a series of studies on salvation by faith alone, Paul's counsel to the Christians in Rome. It's such a blessing. Today, we're talking about the heart of the gospel, justification by faith. And I'm praying that you would experience the joy of salvation today and be able to share that with those around you. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. Have you been blessed by the series so far?
Yes. Amen.
You know, we talk about things that we know about, but we need to let it sink deep into our hearts, don't we? And I'm so impressed by the love of God. He loves us with an everlasting love, and He wants us to know the joy of His salvation. So we're always excited to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. And if you've never written before, why don't you write today, sshope@hopetv.org. Sometimes people will write an email and say, please read it live. Well, we can't read them all, but we would love to hear from you. Here's a note from Chris in Kenya. Chris says, I was born into a Seventh-day Adventist family. My mom prayed a lot, though I couldn't care, and I was rooted in the world. In 2015, she prepared to go and preach somewhere during a camp meeting. That same day, she died. Kindly help me in prayers, because God is calling me to pick up where she left off and to preach the Word of God. Someone has that testimony, that even in his mother's death, that God worked something good. He continues, each day I listen to Hope Sabbath School, I feel closer and closer to my God.
Amen.
To the reality of my dreams. Well, Chris, we're going to pray for you, because on that resurrection day that Jesus talked about, when the dead in Christ shall rise, your mother is not only going to be overjoyed to see that you're part of the redeemed, but she will weep tears of joy to know that you've led others to Christ. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Praise God. Thanks for writing to us. Hope Sabbath School there in Kenya. Dominic writes from Zambia. We get a lot of emails from Zambia, don't we? Greetings to Hope Sabbath School.
Greetings.
I recently accessed your program in my home, and I watch it twice a week. How I wish all Sabbath School members and teachers were that lively and interactive in studying the Word of God. Continues, God bless you and the ministry. Please pray for all believers around the world, just as I do, that they would study the Word of God seriously.
Amen.
Mission accomplished. Go therefore, he says, and teach all nations. Well, thanks for writing to us, Dominic. He signs it Elder D. Mulenga in Zambia. You go and share the message too. You can speak languages we don't speak. So God bless you as you share. Princess writes to us from Nigeria. And she says, I am Princess. I watch Hope Channel almost every day, but on Fridays and Saturdays, I watch it very well. I love your program. You're doing a good job to spread the Word of God. I would love to be on your team. Keep up the good work. I'm just a little girl, 7 years old. May God bless you all in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Princess, I hope that someday you can be part of Hope Sabbath School, either here or maybe sometime if one of us is touring in Nigeria, we'll have a live Hope Sabbath School. Amen. We'll make sure Princess can be with us. Doesn't the Bible say, and a little child shall lead them?
Yes.
Amen. Myrna wrote on our Facebook page, and we've got a lot of followers. Last time I checked, between 175 and 200,000 followers on Facebook. And Myrna writes, and she says, I look forward weekly to watching your in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. What I enjoy the most, what do you think she enjoys the most?
The song.
No, not the song. She said, what I enjoy the most is that it's not a one-man show, but it's a team of 13 people, and it reminds me of Jesus and the disciples.
Amen.
Wow. Wow.
Keep up the good work. Help us to reflect on how to study the best book in the world. That's the Bible.
Amen.
May God pour his blessings upon you all. Thank you immeasurably. Well, you know, I would feel a little awkward when she said Jesus and the disciples, but I'm not the only one that teaches, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stephanie? Trisha Lee? We've had others, to Kyle, you know, we've had others teaching here. And that's the beauty, and maybe someone's watching and you're thinking, can I teach? Absolutely. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess. Download the same outline that we use. Couldn't they start an interactive Bible study in their home?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the... My wife was the one that encouraged us to start doing that, you know, and I don't always listen right away, but I realized that the Spirit of God was leading her. Now there are tens of thousands of people teaching Hope Sabbath School classes around the world. I say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Well, M.L. Pearson, last note I've got here. M.L. writes from South Carolina in the United States. What a way, better way to start the Sabbath than with a Bible study and my family. We love the interaction of Hope Sabbath School and the different perspectives. We love the new outline. So apparently, ML has gone to our webpage and download. We've got a new outline there. Our Sabbath School teacher uses the outline at my church. Keep up the good work. God bless you in what you do for us. Well, ML, thanks for writing to us. We've got more. Let me just read one last one, because I don't remember getting one from Sri Lanka. Have we had one recently from Sri Lanka? Mavanitham writes to us from Sri Lanka and says, thank God for Hope Sabbath School team, which expresses the Word of God in a way that everyone can understand. Mm-hmm. Is that our prayer today?
Amen.
We'll be praying that we can express the Word of God in a way everyone can understand. And there is a song we'd like to sing with you now. It's the theme song for this series, right from the Epistle to the Romans, Romans 8, verse 28 and verse 31 and 32. I love the message of this song. It says that God can work all things together for good to those who love Him. Let's sing it together. And you know, the greatest gift that God wants to give us, is it eternal life or is it peace with Him? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd want to live forever without being at peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
But peace with God that lasts forever.
Amen. Yeah.
Is the greatest gift of all, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's pray that we can experience that again today, and maybe someone watching Hope Sabbath School, that it would be the first time for them by a miracle of God's grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the writing and the preservation of this sacred text. We're going to be studying from Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome about the gospel, justification by faith, being set right with God by faith, trusting in His grace to save us. Lord, speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit, I pray. May lives be changed forever as a result of our study today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're in Paul's letter to the church in Rome. It's right after the Gospels, the book of Acts, and then comes the book of Romans. And in order to realize how important it is that God has a plan outside of us to save us, we need to start, Justin, with Romans 3, verse 20. If you could read that for us. That is what makes the good news of the gospel so important.
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are.
So even if I were to say, you know what, I don't want to grieve the heart of God, is that a good motivation for not sinning? Not wanting to grieve the heart of God? Great motivation, right? I love God, so I'm not going to do any more bad things. Can I be set right with God by that?
No.
No.
No. Why?
Because.
Well, there's several reasons, right, Abigail? What's one reason?
That's because the only way to be set right by God is by placing your faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay. Help me another reason why that's not going to work. You give me the solution. But why cannot saying, well, I'm going to do what's right, and thus I'm going to set myself right with God? Yes, Andrea.
Because we cannot do right on our own. Yes. We need God's help with that.
And even if it looks right?
Even if it looks right.
Because our motives can be tainted, right?
Yes.
We can be saying, well, I'm doing it for God, but really I'm doing it for me. Right? Mm-hmm. And what else?
Our past history.
That's right, Stephanie. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus.
So it's like when the policeman finally grabs the serial robber, you know, and he says, well, I promise not to do it anymore. Okay, well, you can go home now. No, you've committed 14 robberies, and you have to have a penalty for those, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's true even in human law, isn't it?
Yes.
And we know from our study the wages of sin is
death. Yeah.
Even if I say, well, I'll try not to do it anymore. Kyle?
Yeah, I've heard it described like our debt is so great that if, let's say you owe somebody $1 billion and you try to pay them back with $10 bills, you'll never pay them back because your debt is too great. So the same was true with us. Our debt is so great, we can never earn our way back to God. It's only by a gift that we can receive Him.
You know, the Apostle Paul, and I'll come to your point in just a minute, in Galatians 2:21, really emphasizes that there is no way that by works of law we can recommend ourselves to God. In fact, well, let's see what he says, Stephanie. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
What's he saying? If somehow we could save ourselves by our good works,
then Christ was dead, died but in vain.
There was
It wasn't even necessary,
right?
We didn't even need a Savior to come.
Exactly.
It didn't mean anything. We can't do that, though. Andre?
Yeah. In our previous study, we looked at the human condition and how we all fall short of the glory of God. And because the image of God in us was broken after the fall, we can no longer do good. I'm reminded also of the passage in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6.
Would you like to read it? Give us a moment to
yes.
find it. Could you give us the reference again?
Yes, it's Isaiah 64, verse 6, okay, and this is from the New King James Version.
Okay, Isaiah 64, we're talking here about the human condition. How does that verse read in your Bible?
Yeah, it's from the New King James Version, mm-hmm. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind.
Isn't that a little severe? I mean, I could do something kind to a neighbor, and someone comes up and says, filthy rag. Really? is this a hyperbole? Is this an exaggeration for effect? I mean, don't we do some good things? We show kindness to a person. We help a person who's in need, Tricia Lee. I mean, I'm not trying to argue how great we are apart from Jesus, but...
If we have to compare ourselves to one another, then maybe we have an argument of my gift is better than your gift. But once we compare ourselves to Christ, then yeah, mm-hmm. it's a filthy rag. There's just no comparison because we've really fallen so short of His glory.
All right, Dustin?
I think that if there's anything good that does come out of us, it's not us.
Right. Oh, okay.
It's coming from God, so we can't really take credit.
So if I do something that looks good and go, that's right. That's pretty good. Okay, I just had a proud spirit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus told a parable. It was considered in Christ's day possible to be righteous by deeds of law. Hmm. It even spoke about that in some of the scrolls they found in the Essene community in Qumran, you know, about the righteousness that comes through the works of law. So that was not uncommon. Carl, Jesus told a parable about that attitude in one person and another person who basically came and said, I'm terrible, and yet the miracle happens for him. Mm. Would you read that for us in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14?
Sure. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Amen. Mm.
Now, it was interesting when Jesus introduced the parable, he said some trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You talked about if I'm comparing myself to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does it do when we, what is inevitable when we think by our performance that we can recommend ourselves to God? What's inevitable according to this text? What will we do?
Judgmental.
We'll judge people, right? We'll become judgmental and critical. And, well, I'm not perfect. Well, I'm doing better than you are. Especially you, right? We don't see our great need, right? If we see our great need, how are we going to relate to other people that are on the journey?
Merciful.
Be merciful, right?
Amen.
As our Father in heaven also is merciful. Stephanie?
I think it's interesting, too, that when we do comparison, we usually compare ourselves with someone who is on a journey, just beginning their journey. We don't look at someone who has been on their journey for a while and is following Jesus, but we're comparing ourselves with someone who may just have learned from about Jesus or who doesn't even know Jesus.
And yet Jesus said, tax collectors and sinners will go into heaven ahead of you. So the starting point for being set right with God is to cry out what this man cried out, or a woman could cry out, and that is what? God, what?
I am merciful.
Be merciful to me. I am a
sinner.
And that's where the gospel kicks in, Jonathan.
Yeah, it just struck me how his statements were based upon faith. I mean, he was the one who was reaching out and believing in God's ability to save him, or the other one was pointing to himself.
Right.
That's right.
It almost felt like he was praying to himself too, didn't it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nicole, could you keep reading beyond verse 20, verses 21 to 26? We're talking, how is the righteousness of God revealed then? It's not by our works of law, you know, which will make us judgmental and critical. What's the plan of salvation? How are we set right? Romans 3, 21 to 26.
And the New International Version says, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus."
So, simply put, how does God set us right with himself? Sin brings death. How many have sinned?
All.
And how does God set us right with himself?
Through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, even if I don't understand all of the details of that, by the way, I think we'll be studying that throughout eternity, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Abigail just gave me a very simple answer. How does he set us right with himself? She said, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That is clearly taught in the Scriptures, that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul says, the law and the prophets, what?
Testifies.
So I want you to think now. I know some of you have been reading your Bibles. That's a good thing. And the Holy Spirit will bring those stories to your remembrance. But Jesus, even when he was with his disciples, he showed them in the Scriptures. It was all pointing. Didn't he say that the Christ must suffer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The whole plan of Messiah coming, Lamb of God, redemption plan, that if we would accept God's grace revealed through his Son, Jesus Christ, we could be saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think of some stories. Anybody or some signposts in the law and the prophets pointing to the fact that God would have a plan. It's not by our works of righteousness, but by his grace. Mm. Can you think of one? Anybody? You're all looking and smiling at me. Think of a story, Jonathan?
It wasn't a story, but I was thinking of, I think it might be Jeremiah, where it's talking about the branch that would come and establish God's justice. I guess I'm thinking in the terms of the righteousness of God in terms of showing God's righteousness and his ways, like this verse was talking about, that the branch would come and show God's ways of dealing with things, God's ways of establishing righteousness in his people and in his kingdom.
There are certainly many what we call messianic or Messiah prophecies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, they're not just stories. There are some stories, but there are also some prophecies that point to the Messiah. Kyle?
I'm remembering the story of Abraham and Isaac.
Yeah. Tell me that story, because, you know, a lot of us, and of course the many world religions know that story, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But many people, they don't know anything about it. So tell us about that story. Maybe it's found in the book of Genesis, but we don't have to read it.
Right.
Tell us the story, and what is it embedded in that story that is a picture of God's plan of salvation?
Well, Abraham and Sarah were very old, and they had been praying for a son, and God promised that he would provide a son, and it looked beyond hope because they were too old. And finally, miraculously, you know, Abraham tried to do it another way, and, you know, we got Ishmael, but miraculously God provided Isaac, you know, and so this miraculous child that came to them, you know, it was their special son. And then at one point when he was older, the Bible says in Genesis 22 that God asks Abraham to sacrifice his his son that was the child of this promise. Mm-hmm. And he says, sacrifice him to me. And he was testing Abraham's resolve, his commitment to him. Of course, he wasn't actually asking him to kill his own son, but he was testing Abraham's resolve. And so in Genesis 22, verse 8, it says that Abraham said...
Give us a moment to find it, if you'd like to read it. Genesis 22 and verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
You're just wanting us to make sure that you're not making up the story, right?
I'm just wanting to make sure.
It's in the book.
It's in the book, yes.
Genesis 22 and verse 8.
Yes. This is such an amazing story. And the Bible says that Abraham said, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, and Abraham said, my son, he's talking to Isaac now, and because Isaac has asked, Father, you know, where is the lamb? Because he built an altar for the offering, and Isaac says, well, where's the lamb? Because they always have a lamb. And Abraham says, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.
Amen.
And so we know the story. You know, Abraham's about to drop the knife. He was willing to go to the, he was willing to follow mm-hmm. God, but of course, at that moment, the angel stopped him, and they had provided a ram in the thicket. And so God was demonstrating that he was willing to give. Isaac was a type of Christ. God was willing to sacrifice his own son for us. And he was teaching through Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac, willingness to give Isaac.
I love what Abraham called. He said he called that place, the Lord will provide.
Lord provides.
Jehovah Jireh, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord will provide. So that was a beautiful picture of the plan of redemption. Did you want to comment?
I just want to add one thing. I had a church member that always told me, she said, Pastor, whenever you feel like that you don't know what God is going to do, just remember, there's always a ram in the thicket. And so I've always remembered that. You know, even when I felt like, you know, I was beyond hope and I've made some mistakes, I remember, you know what, God always has. God provided, of course, most of all, Jesus Christ.
The Lord will provide.
The Lord will always provide.
Right, right. Trisha Lee.
I was going to share the story of the Exodus and the Passover, how Passover was instituted, that God's people were trapped in slavery, and we know that's also a spiritual allusion to sin, and that they were going to be delivered from that and from the destruction angel of death that was going to come.
Right.
And they had to demonstrate their faith in God by putting the blood of a lamb over their doorposts.
And in order to do that, the lamb had to die.
It had to die. And so we know that that was symbolism for what the sacrifice Jesus was going to make for all of mankind. Mm-hmm. And if we believe in that, then we would escape.
And I'm going to come to you, Dustin, in just a minute, sure. And Andrea. The beautiful thing about the blood over the doorpost is even those who were not part of the chosen people, if by faith they would come in, they would be protected, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So that was starting to help the children of Israel understand that salvation was not just for them, right, but for whoever would believe. Dustin.
I see Christ in the serpent in the wilderness, because when they had the outbreak where they couldn't fend off the serpents for them by themselves, they had to look to the sign that Moses made, which was a symbol, and in John 3, Christ refers that he's that, if he's lifted up, He will save us.
Right, you're talking about a story in Numbers chapter 21 when the children of Israel start complaining and say, God, just let us go by ourselves. And those fiery serpents who've been in the wilderness all along, Deuteronomy 8 tells us, now they start biting the people. And that's when, as you pointed out, Dustin, God instructs Moses to make this bronze serpent and lift it up. And Jesus says that salvation that God provided was pointing forward to my salvation, to the plan, right? Yes. So all the way through Scripture. Andrea, did you think of another story?
Yes. In fact, I was thinking, when we look at Jesus, we really discover how far we are from the mark. It's really, the more we look at him and his perfect character, the more we realize our weaknesses, our shortcomings. And the Bible also presents this in a somewhat metaphorical way in the book of Zechariah chapter 3, where we see the story of Joshua the high priest and him being accused of Satan because he was clothed in filthy rags. And the Lord has really encouraged him by saying that he shouldn't be afraid. Christ offered to clothe him in his perfect robe of righteousness.
Would you like and to read that passage
yes,
for us?
Yes, I would like to
That's
read
right
that.
That's right near the end of the Old Testament in Zechariah chapter...
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3. And what verse would you like to read?
I would read verses 3 and 4.
All right, Zechariah chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And how does that read?
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And we know that those rich robes are the robes of Christ's righteousness that he offers freely to each person.
Which is a perfect sequel to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because you're absolutely right. Christ not only takes the penalty of our sin, which is death, but he offers us the gift of what? And his righteousness, right? He covers us. Would you read that for us, Stephanie, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21?
Yes, and the King James Version says it this way, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him."
Amen. Two parts. Made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. What's that talking about? Because Jesus knew no sin, right, Joshua?
That's correct.
What does it mean to be sin for us?
For Jesus to be
yes.
sin for us?
What does that mean?
Being in human form.
Yes, he came in humanity.
And we are...
But he didn't have no sin, right?
He has no sin.
Andrea?
He became our substitute.
Okay.
He took over our sin.
He bore our
the
sin.
Penalty.
Doesn't
our
it say
sin.
That in the scriptures? He bore our sins on the tree? Justin?
In my Bible, it says to be the offering for our sin.
An offering for our sin? Okay. Jonathan?
I think it's alluding to the sanctuary service where the guilty person would come and confess on this lamb, and then the lamb would take that sin away into the sanctuary. So it's like the blood of the lamb, right, sorry. And so that symbolically he is taking on the debt, sin that we've done, and taking it into God's presence so that God will deal with it and smooth over the issues that we've got.
And yet the book of Hebrews says that the blood of lambs or rams and goats is totally incapable of dealing with the sin problem.
Yes.
What was it for then? If it didn't accomplish it, Jamie?
It was to point us towards Christ so that when he did stand as our substitute, we would understand what that means because the wages of sin is death. And so Christ decided to take that on himself so that we might die the first death but not the second death and rise in the resurrection.
So we may fall asleep in death, but we have the assurance of a resurrection to life when Christ returns. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus, what did he shout out? Do you remember?
Behold the Lamb of God.
He could have called him a lot of things, right? He could have called him Mighty Counselor, you know, Prince of Peace. But he calls him Lamb of God.
Yeah. Amen.
But that was the first part. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Mm-hmm. That's the dealing with the sin. But what was the second part?
So that we could be
that we
made
be
right.
Made the righteousness of God in him.
We might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Yes.
Set right with God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And? Set right with God and?
With each other.
What?
With each other.
What did you say?
Doesn't it say we're going to be set right with God? That's wonderful. But we also made the righteousness of God in him. Something happens in our relationship to God, but something also happens in us, doesn't it?
Sure. Yes.
Doesn't it say we're a new creation?
Yes.
Someone was saying in a previous study, you know, sorry I hit you, but I'm going to hit you again, you know? No. Yeah. A change occurs in us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Stephanie?
And that's what it says in verse 17 of the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17.
Okay.
And if I can read it,
yeah,
that
would you
be
do that
great.
For us? So this is the same one that says he made him to be sin
yes.
for us who knew no sin?
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Verse 17 says, yes, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17.
Okay.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have plenty of old things that we'd like to be passed away, right?
Yes.
Amen. Old things are become new.
Yes.
No wonder Paul feels so passionate about that. I mean, think about his life. Saul.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All things became are passed new. Away. All things have become new.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the message of the gospel. Well, let's apply this to our lives. Mm. Let's talk about you first. No, I'm not going to ask you of all the bad things that you've done, because Hope Sabbath School is not about focusing on our failure, but on our Savior, right?
Amen. Amen.
Can someone identify a time that you really got that Christ was God's plan and not you just being good enough that you get taken to heaven someday? Mm-hmm. Does anybody have a marker in your journey where you go, I remember the time that I really understood that gospel message? Anybody like to share? Mm-hmm. Joshua.
Yeah, there in Ezekiel chapter 16, and we don't have to go there, it talks about the story of a young baby that grows up to be a woman, but then she becomes a whore. And I also think about the story of Hosea and how God had Hosea marry a whore. And I thought, of all the stories in the Bible, that's the one that reaches me the most. Mm. And I think that for all of us, especially as Christians who stumble, we fall, and then we're supposed to get back up again and then fall. I think a lot of people don't see themselves as a Saul or a Paul, where, you know, he was living this life that wasn't in accordance with God. And then all of a sudden, he's this man that is just all for God. I think many of us have that experience where we're constantly just falling and going against God's will, but yet he still loves us. Mm. And for all the things that God could have compared us to, it was a whore. Like, God loves the whore.
And here's this wife of Hosea named Gomer, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She keeps going back and having children by other people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nightmare if you think about, you know, being in a relationship like that. Mm-hmm. And again, we keep coming back to the character of God. What is the lesson that God wanted to teach through the prophet Hosea? Was it how sinful we all are?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we already know that. Jamie.
Wait, it's a combination.
I'm sorry. Well, we do need to know that we're sinners.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, God loves us.
We can always come back. He's
yes.
always seeking us.
Amen.
We can
yes.
never go too far. There's nothing we can do mm. that will make him turn away. Amen. He'll still love us as if we'd never strayed to begin with.
Is that why they call it is that why they call it amazing grace?
Yes.
Someone else, a marker. You shared that you can relate to that, not but kind of a
yeah.
stop and start, Tricia Lee?
There was, for years, I've had conversations with my friends about certain things that they shouldn't be doing. And I had that moment where I found myself in that same situation. And it was a moment of clarity where I was like, wow, it's not even just that I found myself here, but I've literally been counseling my friends against this same thing. Mm-hmm. And I realized in that moment how in need I was of God. That even with all the knowledge that I had and, you know, all the things you can do, you still find yourself in that situation. It's just like, wow, I can't. I cannot of my own. And I think for me, it was very humbling. And I just had to run to God. And I realized I just can't trust myself. Mm. I cannot trust myself. I can only trust in God to keep me.
Would you see that as that place in the parable of beating on your chest and saying, God, be merciful
yes.
to me, a sinner?
Yes.
That kind of moment.
And
right?
it made me have more mercy to others.
Mm-hmm.
To understand that when you're in a vulnerable place, you can make decisions that you otherwise wouldn't have. And I feel like it was good, not just with me being humble to God, but me understanding other people as well.
All right. Stephanie, we're talking here about we know we can't be right with God by our human behavior. God set a plan into motion through his son Jesus, prophesied in the law and the prophets, right? That moment where we finally see that, we have a choice to make, right? Mm-hmm. We do. How many does God desire to be saved?
All.
Right? We have a choice to make. Stephanie?
Yeah, I think that marker, one of those, was when I was early in my Christian walk. And I was in a college class at Southwestern Adventist University. And the religion teacher, we were going through the book, Desire of Ages, it's on the life of Jesus. And it was there that hit me, oh, he really loves me. And there's nothing I can do to win that. He loves me. And I remember telling the professor at the end, I don't know what's happening, but if you can just pray for me, that would be great. And the Lord just did something in my life that was awesome.
Praise
so,
God. Praise God.
And so it was the beginning of a loving journey, and I'm still growing, but God is good, and I'm so thankful for that class and that professor who I believe was praying for me.
Amen. Isn't that an amazing awareness? It's like, he really loves me.
Amen.
Do you know when we come to that awareness, angels sing? Yes. Didn't Jesus say that? You know, in the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost sons? Mm-hmm. Angels sing, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. When we come to that awareness that we can't earn his love, we can't earn our way to heaven. Mm-hmm. He loves us.
Amen.
And he has a plan for our salvation. Mm-hmm. So powerful. Anybody else? A marker. And you notice all different stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're all different. I've got two hands raised. Andrea.
There was a time in my life when I prayed earnestly for a deeper understanding and a deeper walk with the Lord. I came to such a journey in my life, and it was quite literally a journey because I was away from home. It was a period of about a month that I really set out to have a closer relationship with the Lord. And it's amazing how he spoke to me through the Word. And one passage that I still remember because I memorized this is from John 15, verses 5 and 7 and several more. But
would
the
you
whole
like to
chapter,
read any of them or just tell the story? That's okay.
Well, I can read one verse from there because it's so meaningful.
All right, John chapter 15.
15, verse 5.
Verse 5. You know, the amazing thing about the Bible is that it can become the living word of God to us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you can read it, and it's like, Jamie, God's talking to you right out of the page.
Yeah.
And it can be a different text for different people because he knows our heart, right? Mm-hmm. God spoke to you out of this page, the word of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Which
indeed.
Verse would you like to read for us?
Verse 5.
John 15 and verse 5?
Yes, John 15, verse 5 from the New King James Version. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Mm-hmm. For without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
And in light of even our study today, this was very powerful to me at that time because it made me realize that I cannot do anything to earn God's love. Mm-hmm. It was all done by him.
Yeah.
And that was sufficient.
And what do I need to do then?
Respond, receive,
respond.
Accept.
Amen. Amen. Believe, respond, say yes.
Amen.
Lord, remember me.
Yes.
Lord, a marker. By the way, I'm going to come to Abigail now. Is it essential that we can mark a specific moment when we accepted that salvation, or is it essential that we know that we have?
Yes.
That is essential, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm like, well, I don't really know if I have, what would you say to a person?
Okay.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Right? Today is the day.
Of salvation.
Right?
Yes.
Don't harden your heart
right.
if you're not sure. Mm-hmm. But if you're like, oh, I'm absolutely sure, but I feel more like a sunflower, just kind of turning toward the sun. I grew up in a Christian home, and it's I don't have any Damascus Road type.
Right. Yeah.
But I ought to know that I've made that acceptance of his salvation, right? Yes. Abigail, was there a specific time for you that you go, that was really a marker for me of saying, Lord, I want to accept you as my Savior?
Yeah, it was also during college when Stephanie spoke, then it reminded me of that time. Not like it's very fresh in mind. When we say the wages of sin is death, you know, when you have gone astray and sin, and it has led you to a dying bed. And I remember telling myself, I have brought this to myself, so it's okay if I die, it's all my fault. Mm-hmm. And there was a still voice, but then it was very loud too, and it said, you shall not die, but you will live and profess the goodness of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And later on, that's when I went and figured out where that Bible verse was, you know. And ever since then, it reminds me of how much he loves me, that despite my own, you know, shortcomings, and despite me putting myself in that kind of position, he still was able to save me and show me how much he loves me. Mm-hmm. And through that, I am able to, you know, also share his love to others.
Praise God.
Amen.
Can you imagine God saying to you, you will not die but live?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm. Wow.
The grace of God. Mm-hmm. And what a change. What are we learning about the character of God from our study today? People say, oh, we're all sinners and God's out to get us. And, of course, there's this teaching that some proposed from Scripture, not that the wages of sin is death, but God's going to torment you forever and ever in some kind of eternal hell torment, you know. What is this picture that we're seeing of the character of God? Jonathan?
Yeah, I was thinking, it kind of goes with testimony, I guess, in my life, but when I went through some tough stuff where I got myself messed up, and one of the things that was very helpful for me was being reminded that God will never turn from the sinner, that he will never give up on the sinner. No matter what we do, God does not give up on us. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, was a grounding that kind of allowed me to rest and release and turn to him. So I think both as far as who God is, I mean, he never gives, there's nothing we can do that can drive him away. Mm-hmm. He is always there waiting for us, always is looking towards us with patience, with kindness, with forgiveness, and that if we allow that to enter our minds and to become, and to believe in it, to be convinced of it, allow that to convince, then we can let go of our own guilt, of our own being stuck in whatever it is, and give that over to God and allow him to deal with it, because only he can.
Mm. Is that biblical, what he said, that God will never give up on the sinner?
Correct. Yes.
I think it is. I'm not. Yeah, well. I mean, doesn't it say that whoever believes in him should not perish? Yeah. I mean, really, to use a tennis term, the ball is in our court. Yeah. Yes. God has said, I love you, I want to save you. We could say, well, I'm not worthy, and God says, I already know that. Mm. Right?
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
I already know you're not worthy. This is not about you being worthy. When the angels sing, when we're gathered with the redeemed, they don't say you are worthy. Mm. They say, worthy is the Lamb. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Is it true God never gives up on us? What do we? Is it that we give up on God?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to harden our hearts?
Yes.
Kyle?
I was just going to share a testimony that, just briefly, but I think for some of us, we don't have that particular moment that we can look back to and say, that was my salvation moment. There were points along the journey, but for me, I know that, like, I struggled with a lot of things in my life, and I struggled with some sins in my life that I really had a hard time letting go of for so many years. And I felt like, man, God, why can't I get it right with you, you know? But just over and over again, I knew that God had never left me. I always loved the story of the prodigal son, you know, because the father was always there wanting him to come back. And in my life, I knew that though I had been struggling with something, that God was always going to be there for me. And this verse always meant a lot to me.
Would you like to tell us where it's found, and we'll look it up with you?
Yeah, Psalm 51 and verse 10.
That's part of David's Psalm of Repentance, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Psalm 51. So this is, again, as Andrea was talking about how God spoke to her through the word of Jesus in John 15. Mm. This is a 3,000-year-old scripture song written as the Psalm of Repentance. And it was verse 10 of Psalm 51.
I was just going to read to verse 13 if I can.
10 through 13. Yeah. All right.
And reading from the New King James Version, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." I just love that verse because it tells us God will give us a new heart. Amen. And not only that, he'll help us to share his love with others.
Yes.
And
here you are on Hope Sabbath School.
So, and praise God for his mercy.
Amen. You know, that's a really important point. I'll come to Tricia Lee here. It isn't just about us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's about all of God's children.
Amen.
Because there are some people within your circle of influence that God wants to use you to reach them with the love of God, right?
Yes.
Tricia Lee.
It all reminds me of what the Lord says about himself in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7.
Okay, let's take a look at that.
Exodus
I like the fact we're just coming up with lots of Bible texts here.
I'm just so inspired by this. This is when, you know, Moses was, you know, feeling a bit discouraged on the promise to go to the promised land. And he didn't want to go. He said, "I'm not going to go if you don't go with me."
Yeah.
And he said, "I'll go with you." Then he also asked, you know, to show him, reveal himself. And he was up in the mountain and God passed before him. And this is what the Lord says about himself in verse 34, 6 and 7. From the New King James Version. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, and visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation.'" But I am so encouraged by this because we, I think, have all seen God's mercy, his grace, his patience. And yes, at some point in time, sin will be no more. Yeah. But he says he will forgive and clear all those sins and transgressions.
Mm.
It's just so beautiful.
Amen.
And this is what God said about himself when Moses was begging, "Show me, show me, show me."
Yes. Same gracious God in the Old Testament. It's not a different God.
Not a different God.
But because we get these distorted pictures, God sends his son to reveal the gospel to us.
Yes.
I want to close with one verse in Romans 3, verse 28. Mm. Having spoken about God's plan, which is apart from the deeds of the law, I want us to notice again verse 28. And then I have a question for you. Abigail, do you have that text?
Yes.
Verse 28 of Romans 3.
Okay. Romans 3:28, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law." Amen.
That's his main point. It's not by obeying the law that we're made right with God. So here's my question. How then do we relate to the law now we realize that we are saved by grace and we have accepted his grace by faith? We are now a new creation. How do we relate to that law? Because he's going to say, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. So how do we relate to the law, Dustin? What changes once we've accepted salvation by faith in God's grace?
I think for me, it's, you look back when you have that aha moment, you sort of look back and go, the law is really just like a tool to help you cultivate what that seed that was planted in faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the the crux of it. It's just something that's there to help you see yourself and help you to, like, just like being faithful is in a marriage, it helps you to cultivate the marriage and make it good. But it's not the marriage itself. It's just a tool to help it to grow.
It's interesting. Before we come to Christ, the law shows us, like the mirror, how dirty we are and how much we need a Savior. After we come to Christ, how do we look at that law now, Stephanie?
We look at that law as a protection. It's what God, He wants our relationship, as He was saying, to grow, and that will help our relationship to grow. He wants us to be safe.
Amen. And is that what James talks about, the law of liberty?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a freedom now that comes because we're not trying to save ourselves.
Exactly.
So are we going to fall short of the ideal on that journey? Or is it going to be just perfect going, Jonathan?
Because I feel like we can look at the law with thankfulness, saying that God is giving us, reminding us of our need of Him.
Yes.
That, I mean, if it's no longer about us, it's not our job to produce this, that the law can help us to remind us, like, oh, yes, that's why I need my Savior. And then I'm taking joy in having a Savior.
And I was thinking what Paul says in Galatians 2. Remember, he says, if righteousness comes through the law, Christ died in vain. But in verse 20, he says, Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the gospel message. A new life is possible in Christ, but it's because Christ now lives in you, your Savior and your Lord, and by His Spirit, a new life unfolds, and it's a law of freedom.
Amen.
God guides us in the way of righteousness, not to earn His love, but because we love Him who first loved us. What an amazing testimony. Has your heart been warmed today as you've heard how much God loves you? If you've trusted Him before, would you say again, thank you, God, for saving me? If you haven't, would you call upon Him today and say, Lord, save me because you love me so much? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you know we've been praying not only that those who already trusted you would reaffirm their acceptance of your grace, but someone today who'd say, God, save me. Save me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for offering me a totally new life.
Yes, God.
If that's you, say yes to Him just now.
Yes.
And God, I pray you'd hold that precious treasure. Write that name in your book in heaven. And give us by your Spirit the freedom to walk a new life in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. If you've trusted Him today, share with someone the good news that God loves us.